Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. How can better hospital room design benefit you? Hi, friends. Welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is May 24th, and we're so glad that you've come back to join us for the second day of our health article this month, Spaces That Heal. When we talk about a medical breakthrough, usually we think of a new treatment, a new procedure, some kind of medication, but here we're talking about the hospital room itself. This is Naomi, and back with me again today, we have, first of all, Josh.
Hi, Naomi. It's great to be back.
It is. I'm excited about this topic because the way we started out, I really thought we were talking about a hotel room.
That's right. We talked yesterday about some really interesting innovations around the design of a room and how your fancy remote control is going to be able to control all the things in your room. But then we shifted to a pretty interesting discussion about care itself.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of reasons behind these ideas, and I'm glad that this article is helping to introduce those as well. There's research and there's evidence.
Yeah, and we have a broken system in a lot of Western countries where the costs of healthcare have skyrocketed and employers want to push the costs off to employees, and Medicare is a system we talked about yesterday that's in a bit of a mess. So it's nice to see that some positive changes are being made.
Definitely. Now, I'm again excited that we have some actual people with nursing experience in the studio with us to help us understand this article better. First of all, welcome back, Rose.
Thank you for having us.
What stood out to you yesterday about this article?
What stood out to me is how in America they are starting to implement this. That I worked in a hospital that was recently built, and just seeing how they did, you know, take a hold of this idea of a healing room and they really implemented it. They did it in the hospital.
Okay, so this isn't something that's years and years and years away. This is starting to really happen.
Yes, definitely.
I think that is exciting. And also back with us again is Sarah.
Hi, Naomi.
So what stood out to you yesterday?
I really enjoyed seeing how sunlight and music and the environment of the room can help heal a patient.
Yeah, and this was kind of surprising to me. I mean, I know that for me, just in my daily life, the more sunlight and the nicer my environment, the better I feel. But I never really thought about that as having sort of this power to heal. But you've seen evidence of this.
Oh, yes, all the time, okay. Especially in this new hospital Rose was talking about. We worked together in there, and it was amazing to see the patients and how quickly they came back from surgery or any type of medical illness.
Okay, very encouraging to hear that there's real live examples of this. One of the things that we focused on quite a bit yesterday was the financial side.
That's right, how the hospitals are actually getting bonuses, it says, from Medicare and soon from private insurers on providing better care to their patients. And that's interesting. I think we think of good care meaning you were healthy, that you went in with a sickness and they healed you or they fixed your knee or gave birth to your child. But we're taking a little deeper look at the types of care that we're providing these days.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you actually can get benefits. Hospitals can provide actually receive bonuses, extra payments if they provide really good treatment. But on the other hand, they can also be penalized if they don't meet certain standards. So I could see this being a bit of a challenge. And part of the way that they evaluate this is actually from the patients themselves. Sarah, can you read our little sidebar there on page 36?
Yeah, the patient is always right. Believe it or not, hospitals have actually made money from treating conditions acquired accidentally or due to negligence at their own locations. However, that may change. Medicare, which controls the payments at hospitals, bases up to 30% of quality scores on patient satisfaction.
Okay, now is this something you've heard of before, hospitals making money off of certain, you know, treatments?
Yes, definitely. If we want our patients to come into the hospital and have a good experience. And so when we give them a quiz to fill out, a piece of paper to fill out to know how well we did, It really helps us give them better patient care, and that motivates us as healthcare workers to perform well, and then the insurance companies will give us bonuses.
Okay.
The first part of that actually talked about something really terrible, right? Where someone comes into a hospital and because they didn't get the right treatment, they had to get treated again, or they had to come back later and get it fixed for maybe something they acquired in the hospital. And so that hopefully will change in the future.
Yeah, it actually helps the nurses become more effective and preventing infections, and in surgery, they really are very careful with the surgeons and everybody's. They have their job that's very important to prevent these types of infections and diseases.
Well, medical mistakes are very common. I mean, our doctors, nurses, they're human. Things happen. But some of the ones we read about in the paper are pretty awful, where someone got the wrong leg operated on or the wrong organ removed.
Well, and you see this on TV shows quite a bit, too.
Yeah. They have a lot of safeguards in place. With the amputations, they will make sure and check it probably about 10 times where they write on the leg, the right leg. They have a patient write on the leg. This is the one we're getting amputated or this is the one we're having the surgery on. And so they have a lot of safeguards in place.
That's good.
Okay. And also this idea of actually scoring your healthcare providers to say, you know, they did a good job or they didn't do a good job. It sounds like a good idea on the one hand, but then it also made me wonder, what if a patient is just really grumpy?
Right. If a patient is grumpy and they do mark down the healthcare system, then it also is given into perspective that, you know, there's a team that look at these outcomes and say, you know, where is this patient coming from? What is their history? Mm-hmm. Do they always just provide bad patient care or different things like that?
Mm-hmm. And yesterday I actually talked about charting and documentation, and that's where that comes into play, mm-hmm. is they can look at the charting and see if the patient has had problems or been difficult.
Yeah, and I'm sure they would consider like the nurses and doctors as well and sort of say, okay, what's their track record? How do they usually perform? Do most of their patients love them and this is just the exception? Or have they had a history of this kind of complaint? So I'm sure that they do try to keep it as fair as possible. But yeah, pretty interesting to see the different things that come into the equation here. Now, moving on to today's reading, we are going to continue to talk about exactly how these hospital rooms are changing to provide the best possible care for patients.
Tomorrow's hospital rooms will also be fully wired to help patients engage with the outside world and their own treatment. At the Kaiserslautern Military Community Medical Center in Germany, which will serve soldiers returning from the Middle East, the entire wall opposite the bed will have an interactive video screen, letting patients look at photos of their kids, stream Netflix, Skype with their friends, see schedules for doctor's visits, and hold video chats with teams of physicians.
So yesterday we began talking about how some of these hospital rooms are going to be changed in that they might provide more sunlight, they might have nice music, colored walls, and so on. But today we start on a different side of this brand new room.
Yeah, saying that the hospital room may be fully wired to help patients engage with the outside world and their own treatment.
So when something is wired.
Yeah, so when something is wired, it's kind of think of Wi-Fi or different internet connections or just connections to the outside world.
Mm-hmm. Do you think most hospitals do start to get a little more wired these days, Sarah?
Yeah, it's actually taking a little bit longer than we would expect to have, say, computers for the patients to use, but most of them have Wi-Fi that you can connect on your own devices or, you know, an iPhone or your computer if you bring it with you.
And I think that's so helpful. I mean, even having friends who've been in the hospital for having babies, you know, you want to hear the update. Are they doing okay? You know? And so for them to be able to update family and so on right away, I think it's great.
I just figured they wouldn't allow it because the signals might interrupt with the equipment or interfere with some of the things going on. But I'm glad that doesn't seem to be the case.
In their own room, it doesn't interact with anything. But say if they're in like an X-ray or a radiology department where they're going to be having pictures taken of them, that can be a problem if they have their phones on or any electronic equipment.
That makes sense. So, but within their own room, we can see that it could be a really wonderful thing. And we have an example here, the Kaiserslautern Military Community Medical Center in Germany. And that's actually serving soldiers who are returning from the Middle East. Now, what is their plan?
Well, they have set up an entire wall that's opposite the bed that'll have an interactive video screen. And so when something is interactive, it actually responds to your movement. So there must be a camera set up on it and allow then the patient, in this case, to interact with the screen using perhaps hand gestures or retinal movements and do things like looking at videos or watching content.
Now, a lot of the things that they're offering here I could see being really helpful, especially for people recovering not only from injuries but from being, you know, serving in a war. What are some of the options that they have for how to use this interactive video screen?
Some of the options they have is they can look at photos online of their kids, they can stream Netflix, Skype with friends, see doctor schedules, and I think this will help kind of bring their reality into the room, kind of going with that therapeutic environment of having the window open, trying to keep life kind of the same in the hospital room as they have outside of the hospital room.
That's a really good point, because I can see how a lot of people get really depressed in the hospital because they're on their own, they're away from what they're used to. And so to keep their environment a little more consistent, I can see that being a really positive thing. What about this idea of having your schedule for your doctor's visits or video chatting with physicians?
That would be very helpful. You're ready for them. You're expecting them.
I think it'll help the patients feel more comfortable, just knowing when their doctor is going to come see them and knowing that they can call the doctor. Because a lot of patients are always asking the nurses, when is my doctor coming? When is my doctor coming? And sometimes as nurses, we don't know.
Right.
But just I think it'll just improve communication, just giving that patient all around satisfaction and comfort knowing that they can get a hold of their doctor.
Mm-hmm. And this is something I found that's different in Asia. You have a little more access to your doctor in Asia. Our surgeon that worked on my son gave us his cell phone number, which is something you probably wouldn't see in the States, right, Sarah?
No, they don't really like to do that. They have a very fine professional boundary that they set, especially with our patient privacy laws that we have that are very strict.
Sure. But so a lot of good options here and room for some very helpful communication, definitely, and maybe better scheduling all around throughout the hospital. Better communication is always good. Let's find out more about how this works as we continue with our second reading for today.
Do no harm. Other recent research has looked at how hospitals contribute to patient harm. A landmark 1999 study by the Institute of Medicine of the National Academy of Sciences concluded that medical errors, including falls and medication mistakes, were responsible for up to 98,000 deaths in American hospitals each year, making preventable hospital errors the fifth leading cause of death, behind only maladies like heart disease and cancer. Hospitals believe better design can reverse the trend.
So the title of this section is Do No Harm. Rose, what is that about?
Do No Harm is a logo or a kind of a phrase that us nurses like to go by, that we're not going to cause any more harm than the patient already has, that when they come into the hospital, we want to get them better, not worse. We don't want to perform any harm on them.
Right. This is sort of the basis of medicine, the Hippocratic oath that you would take and say, I will not hurt people more. My job is to help heal them, not hurt them.
Right.
Now, of course, that sounds like pretty obvious stuff, but when it comes to the actual details of how a hospital works, I think it could get a little bit difficult to discern what is always the best option.
That's right. And we're trying to fix that, not only with our environments, but also with technology. And we look at line 15 with a pretty interesting study, almost shocking, that talked about how many errors, medical errors, happen in today's medicine.
Right. They say that actually hospitals can contribute to patient harm. And that's not something we'd like to hear. Of course, we know that hospitals are supposed to be places of healing, but it just happens that this kind of stuff it adds up and it can just hurt people in the end. So what are some of the examples of what can happen?
Well, a lot of times the nurses get very busy and they don't check their medications. They're not checking to see if they're going to the right patient or that they're giving the right dose, which sometimes isn't as harmful, but especially in like pediatrics, like what Rose is going into, you give just the slightest wrong dose and that's very, very harmful for the patient. Also, you see lots of falls if the patient is unsupervised when they're walking or when they get up to go to the bathroom and they trip on a cord or, you know, there's cords everywhere in the room. The patient might have their oxygen on, you know, and right. So falls is a very big mistake issue yeah. that happens.
Hmm. Yeah. So it's not things that would ever be intentional, but sometimes just the environment kind of, it's conducive to this. It allows these kinds of things to happen.
And how much of it is because we work our medical staff so hard?
Especially in the United States, there's a very large shortage in medical personnel, especially in nurses. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have enough nurses, one nurse might take care of 10 patients and she won't be able to watch every single patient all the time.
Right. And long shifts too, right?
Yes.
Often there for many, many hours, not enough sleep.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in America, 12-hour shifts are very common. We're discussing with nurses in Taiwan. An 8-hour shift is very common, but in America, it's the opposite. You know, a lot of nurses are wearing 12-hour shifts, and with the nursing shortest, a lot of overtime.
Right, right. So that can definitely contribute as well. We see here the numbers are frightening.
They are. Up to 98,000 deaths, it says, in American hospitals each year are caused by medical mistakes, which makes it the fifth leading cause of death. And that's something you see in a lot of research studies. What are the leading causes of death in a country or, in this case, in a hospital?
Right. So the leading causes of death include maladies or diseases like heart disease, cancer. Of course, we expect that. But hospital-related issues to be at near the top of that list, it's really, really unfortunate. But hospitals do believe that better design can reverse the trend. So start bringing things toward a different direction. Send them the other way again. So let's find out more about how in our final reading for today.
When architecture firm HOK began creating the University Medical Center of Princeton at Plainsboro in New Jersey, a replacement hospital building, fall prevention was a top priority. Nurses wanted clear sight lines into the room so they could see if someone was struggling to get out of bed, but the toilet presented a design problem. The safest place for the toilet is along the wall by the bed, but putting it there would obstruct the nurse's view of the patient's head. The solution to the sightline problem? The parallelogram. By canting the room at angles like a diamond on a playing card, the toilet can still go near the patient, but recessed so that the nurse can see the patient from head to toe. The arrangement also lets the patient see both the window and the video screen.
Okay, so they're consulting. A lot of hospitals are consulting with architects and with design firms to really create the best possible setup for their hospital rooms. So when architecture firm HOK began creating the University Medical Center of Princeton at Plainsboro in New Jersey, so this is a quite well-known, quite reputable hospital, and I visited their website to see pictures of this room. It's beautiful. It looks really more like a hotel room than a hospital room, for sure. But in this case, fall prevention was a top priority. Now, we talked before about how falls are a big leading cause of hospital injuries, Sarah.
Yes, the patients have lots of cords and tubes, if they have a catheter or an IV. Some of them will have two or three IV lines coming off of them, and they have, you know, the poles with them they have to take to the bathroom, and it's very dangerous. They get up and they can trip on a cord, or if the room isn't lit well enough, they could not see where they're going and run into something.
Right. So, well, and I guess when you're recovering, I mean, if part of you is hurting, you can't walk as well, if your head is a little dizzy or anything like that, that would contribute as well. So I can see it being a big issue. Here, it's a top priority for them.
That's right. It's extremely important as they rebuild hospitals of the future that they prevent people from falling. So a priority is something that's very important to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So nurses wanted what, Rose?
Nurses want clear sight lines in the room so that the patient can see when they're getting out of the bed or going to the bathroom. And this is a big issue in the hospital, that a lot of our patients are elderly, and so they are prone to falling.
Mm-hmm.
And so a big thing is having those lights at the bottom of the, lining the bottom of the room so that patients can see when they are going to the bathroom.
Okay, so a clear sight line is that idea that there's nothing in the way of your view.
Right.
You can see exactly. There's not like some piece of equipment in front of somebody's face. You can just get a perfect view of them. And we can see the example here at the bottom of page 37. You can imagine that the nurse can walk by the door outside and just glance over and be able to see exactly where the patient is instead of sort of having to poke her head in and walk around the corner. So I could see it making a lot of sense. Do you ever run into these issues?
Yes, we have patients that fall, and the most common place for them to fall is in the bathroom.
Right.
And they have actually call lights that you can pull cords and it will call the nurse, because usually you can't look into a bathroom and see a patient in there. It's usually
right. Private.
When
it should be.
Yes. But then they have big sliding doors that you can just walk by or just peek your head in and see your patient lying in bed.
Okay. So they wanted to see how this could work. But the issue was the toilet. That creates a design problem, because where do you put it so that it's, you know, accessible but not blocking the sight? Because a lot of the hospital rooms I've been in, that's the issue. You walk in the door and the bathroom is sort of in that part of the room first. So you have to get past it before you can see the patient. So how did they work that out, Josh?
Well, they decided the safest place for the toilet was along the wall by the bed. And putting it there would then, but putting it there obstructed the nurse's view of the patient's head. So they had some slight line issues, and the solution was the parallelogram.
Yes, what's a parallelogram?
Well, it is a shape from your geometry class many years ago. It's a flat shape which has four sides where the two sets of opposite sides are parallel and of equal lengths to each other.
Right, but then the other two sides can be on an angle. So as we can see again in this design, that's a parallelogram. And so this idea of the bathroom being right there but on an angle, I think, is so clever, because it means it is right by the patient's head, and yet it's accessible from the hallway, it's easy for them to get to, but the sight line isn't blocked. So it makes so much sense. It says here they canted the room at angles.
That's right. When you cant something, it's arranging for two surfaces to meet at an angle that it's different from 90 degrees.
So the idea of diamonds, like on a playing card, when you imagine that diamond, it's sort of like a square, but it kind of got pulled. And that's what they're doing with these rooms in the design. So by doing this, the toilet can still go near the patient, but it's recessed. And what does it mean for something to be recessed?
Well, it means it's built into the space of a wall. We think of sometimes in a living room, you can have a little nook or area that's recessed from the rest of the room. Or lighting on ceilings are often set up in a recessed fashion.
Okay, good. This arrangement also, of course, is good for the patient. Why is that, Sarah?
It reduces their risk of falling, because the nurse can see them. They have a straight line of sight into the patient's room.
Yeah, and this also helps the patient to see both the window and the video screen. So just for them to, you know, be able to watch TV or look out the window when they want.
Mm-hmm. So all in all, is this a room that you like to work in?
Yes, it's actually a very nice setup. I've never seen a hospital room quite like this. I think it's something that's new and in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen rooms similar that are actually really easy to work with.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think as nurses, it'll help us, you know, help the patient prevent falls. You know, the bathroom, like Sarah said, is one of the main places where patients fall. And having that room for both a staff member and the patient to be in the bathroom will help provide the patient with better care and be less prone, so less able to fall.
Right. Now, how, in general, how do you deal with these kinds of dangers in the hospital? What kinds of prevention methods do you use to help in your hospitals?
We have socks that have treads on them, and a tread is something that keeps your foot from slipping on the ground. We also have gait belts is what they're called, and it looks like a regular belt that goes around the patient's waist, and we can use it to kind of support the patient. You can also use things for them to lean on, like the IV pole. They can kind of steady themselves. And also being supervised is big. When they get up and go to the bathroom, they need to have a nurse or an assistant there.
Yeah, and when we're not able to supervise a patient, we can also put up all the side railings to prevent them from getting out of bed so that they're forced to hit the call light so the nurse comes in and helps the patient get out of bed.
Well, sure, because I would be a little embarrassed, actually, to call the nurse every time I had to go to the bathroom, especially if I felt like maybe I could do it on my own. Do you get patients that are kind of stubborn?
Yes, we do, and we get very stubborn patients. But as a nurse, we want to make them feel very comfortable, and it's not a problem. Give me a call. Like, I have time for you. And I think that nurses get the image of we're so busy, but we want our patients to know that it's okay. Hit the call light. We can come in. We can help you.
Right.
And if you do have a difficult patient, there's always a bed alarm. You can put an alarm on, so anytime they get up, it beeps really loud.
Oh, very clever.
Yeah, and that's for patients that are confused and can fall out of the bed.
Right.
Well, you mentioned that there's lots of cords that people trip on. Couldn't we just make more wireless equipment in the hospitals? Or is cords always going to be an issue?
Cords are inevitable. That means you can't
avoid
get
them.
Around them. You can't avoid them.
Especially with something like a catheter.
Yes. I mean, you can't make wireless catheters.
Right.
There's the oxygen tubing that goes into the wall that you need to have that hooked up to the oxygen. There's devices that actually are becoming wireless that go on your finger to look at your oxygen in your blood. And then there's also your IVs, and you can't have wireless IVs, unfortunately.
Right. Wow. Oh, so fascinating. I'm sure all of you are as interested in this article as we are, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on it. So please look for us online at studioclassroom.com. You can leave your comments there or on our Facebook page. And please do come back for our final day of this article tomorrow.